just finished I don't even know how many weeks it was, several weeks on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if you remember, just a really super quick recap from last Sunday, but if you remember, we talked about the fact that there's no, when the Bible is written, there are no chapter breaks, there's no verses, all that stuff. We added all that stuff in to make it easier to read and whatever. So the problem with that, it's fine, but the problem with it is that we kind of read the Bible like we read every other book. We read, I'm going to read chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, but some of those chapter breaks are not in a good spot. Can I, right? You got to really pay attention because thoughts can go right through the end of a chapter into the next chapter. So anyway, the conclusion of last Sunday's message was that the reason that we need to have those 9 character attributes operating by the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I think that's 8. I don't know. I lost count. But there's 9 of them. The reason we need those 9 is because just 4 verses later, Paul says that you who are spiritual need to restore one who's fallen into sin with the spirit of gentleness. Right? Bear one another's burdens. It's just 5 verses later. Right? It's not for me to like sit in my prayer closet and think about how spiritual I am. Paul says, y'all know spiritual, go find someone that's messed up real bad and pick them up. Get them back on their feet, dust them off. You're going to be all right, bro. That's the test. Amen, church? Good? This morning, we're starting a new series called, I'm going to call it Building the Temple. So we're going to spend several weeks talking about building the temple. Amen. This morning's sermon title is Built Together. Built Together. Everybody say that with me. Built Together. Amen. So if we think about anybody ever built anything ever in your entire life, I mean, Legos count. Right? Legos are boring if they're all the same. Right? I haven't bought Legos in a long time. I have like 9 girls, so we don't have 9. There's 4. Feels like 9 sometimes. You're like, oh man. But they do play Legos a little bit, but not boys. I mean, when I was a kid, I had a king-size bed sheet that I carry on like Santa Claus full of Legos. Literally, right? So I didn't use the instructions. I just built whatever I built out of it. But we all get it, right? There's all these crazy different pieces that we put together to make something that's supposed to look like something cool, right? Amen? If you look at your house, right? If you own a house or own a condo, whatever, we've all done, probably all have attempted at doing work at our home, and we find there's all these different pieces, you know, plumbing parts and electrical parts, whatever, all these different pieces fit together. Look at the human body, right? There's just thousands of different things in our body that all fit together and work in harmony with one another to make your body work, right? Just think about if your brain decides it's going to, just one tiny little neuron in your brain is not going to work right, you're in trouble, right? My heart is beating, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of times a day. If it decides it doesn't want to do that right, I'm in trouble. Amen? So we see all this in the world around us, church, but really the Bible clearly teaches us that that's what the church is supposed to look like, right? The church, Paul calls the church the body. And if the thing about it is God doesn't make us all the same on purpose. If everybody was like me, it'd be boring. I mean, I'm kind of cool, but you're a little too quick in the back. I don't know where that was, but put them in timeout. You're too quick on that, bro. Come on. But can I get an amen, church? Let's face it. I mean, most of us kind of like ourselves, but let's face it. If we met somebody just like us, we'd probably drive each other crazy, right? We need people that are different than us, and God made it like that way on purpose, right? So if we think about, like, man, just I think I said a couple weeks ago, God's throne room, right, which is our new bodies, the Bible talks about that, but God still recognizes tribes, nations, and tongues, right? So we have folks from Puerto Rico here. We have folks from Africa here. We have folks that are from Europe somewhere, South America, wherever we're all from, right? The Caribbean islands, we've got folks already here. God, when we get our new bodies in heaven, God is still going to recognize that. So it's important that we recognize it now, right? But the Bible doesn't say that there's going to be the Puerto Rican section in God's throne room. All the Puerto Ricans go over here and worship in their language. And then we got all the all the light-skinned folks are over here and we're singing Chris Tomlin songs in heaven forever, right? We love Chris, by the way. I'm not making fun of Chris, all right? Right, but sure, you know what I'm saying. And there's the black church over here in heaven. They're singing gospel stuff all forever. All right, that's not how it's going to be, man. The Bible calls it, it's like white noise in heaven. The sound of rushing waters, man. Just go to a huge waterfall and listen to what it sounds like. The Bible says that's what the worship in heaven sounds like. I don't know if y'all, would you come to church if our worship was just... I don't know. That's what the Bible... I don't know how long y'all would stay. It'd be like 5 minutes. Like, can we sing something? Amen. Do you see it? See, church, we're all made with a unique DNA. We all have different backgrounds, different families, different life experiences, different skills and talents, different interests and passions. We're at different ages and stages of life. Single, married, no kids, little kids, middle kids, old kids, tall, short. I know what y'all are thinking right now, but I'm not going to say that. Young, not so young, young at heart. We have different personalities. The list could go on and on. Amen. But no matter what makes us unique, when we know Jesus, there is something within us that unites us. All right? There aren't all kinds of different spirits. There's one spirit. There's one Jesus. There's one Father. There's one salvation. There is one who hung on the cross for all of us, all unique, different, quirky, weird, special people. Right? Jesus hung on the cross, thought of every single human that ever was and ever will be. Because he's God, he can do it. I can't do that, but he is, so he can do that, right? Right now, you today, Jesus hung on the cross, thought about you. Personally. Isn't that powerful? He's hanging on the cross, thinking about you, saying, man, 2,000 years from now, there's going to be a bunch of folks sitting in that church in Farmington. I'm paying for them right now. Isn't that good? One of our primary responsibilities as disciples of Jesus is to figure out how to be who God made us to be as individuals and embrace that, but also, church, to embrace the wholeness and the grand plan of God corporately. Right? If you look at church today in America, we've become so focused on individual dreams and individual goals and individual anointings and individual this and individual that. I've got a gift. Well, amen. You do, and so does everybody else. Okay, there's not one person that's saved that doesn't have a gift from God working in their life. Not one. Amen? So the problem, what we're seeing in church today, I just read an article literally this morning. It says, do you know the only continent in the world that the Christian church is shrinking? It's America. It's the only one, church. Every other continent, country in the world, region of the world, the Christian church is thriving and alive. There are miracles going on, power of God. It's only in America. And you want to know why? Because we've become so individualized. Well, I'm walking with Jesus. Well, good, but you need help. So do I, man. Can I get amen? Anybody figured out you can't walk with Jesus by yourself? Come on, man. We need folks. It's part of how we get changed and how God rubs off the rough edges, man. Right? We get around... You know, come on, people that don't know Jesus hang out with folks they like, right? What, you know what we do in church? The same thing they're doing outside church. We just find people we like and hang out with them. Guess what? You're never going to change if you hang out with people that you like. You're going to change by hanging out with folks that you don't quite get along so good with, right? But that's what change caused, because there's something in me and in you that makes us the same. Right? And with church, we've lost sight of it. We've lost sight of the fact that there's one spirit operating in millions and millions and millions of people around the world. You know, I went to that church up the street. I wonder how fast they're growing. Oh my goodness, can we stop thinking that way, man? It doesn't matter, right? Do you realize that within 20 minutes of this church, there's 255,000 people? 20 minutes of this church. Why do I care how many folks are in a church up the street? Can I get amen, right? There's plenty of folks out there. Let's get out there and start talking about Jesus, man. The folks that aren't in the church don't need him as much as folks ain't in the church. Right? Is that good? The thing we need to figure out is, although we're fearfully and wonderfully made, although we're complete all by ourselves in a sense, we're also not made by God just for us. I'm not made just for me. You're not made for you. My talents, my abilities, my gifts, anointing, whatever you want to add onto that list is not just for me to enjoy, and neither are yours. Think about this, man. God made Adam in the garden complete. Is that right, church? If you've never heard this, this might kind of mess with your brain a little bit. But Adam, church, would have been able to reproduce all by himself. You're like, what? Say what? Because when Adam named every animal that exists, that's what the Bible says, right? God didn't name them. Adam did. So Adam must have been pretty darn smart. I'd have run out of names like 10 animals in, right? He's pretty smart. So Adam named every single animal that ever existed, ever did exist, everything God made, Adam named every single one. Then you know it says that all the way at the end, God says, huh, there's not somebody suitable for Adam. But the Bible doesn't say that God made a brand new creature out of the dust. It says he took out of Adam's side and made Eve. So that means that the female attributes were already in Adam. So he took out of Adam's side and made a woman. Yeah, is that good? Because why? It's not good for man to dwell alone. But you know what? If you think about this, that's kind of a subtle mindset that we've developed in the American church. As soon as somebody tells me something I don't like, we're like, I don't need you, bro. Can I get an amen? I'm guilty, man. I've done it. But yeah, God is on me, man. That is wrong. We need to have folks around us that are going to tell us stuff we don't like to hear sometimes. Is that good? In a very real sense, y'all, God's grand plan of salvation, his grand plan of redemption, his grand plan of revealing who he is and his love to the world is like this huge house that he's building, right? Not houses, it's one, worldwide, right? So when we talk about there's the body of Christ, there's this global entity that God is building that's one, right? But then if you start looking at a local church, God also considers a local church a body or a cell in that big grand plan, right? Several years back, the Lord in prayer one day showed me, I saw in my spirit like this giant, this huge, huge jigsaw puzzle, and it was done. Right? And then God, like, as I'm looking at this thing, the Lord says to me, I already know what it's supposed to look like. And then he says, he just took it and dumped it upside down. And the pieces went all over the place. He goes, everybody's got a piece in the puzzle, but it's only one puzzle. Right? It don't matter how powerful, if you know anything about church history, there's been some really powerful, powerful people just in the Bible, and since the Bible's been written, some powerful people. I mean, there's guys that are responsible for the gospel reaching millions and millions of people. Do you know that their piece in the puzzle is no more important than yours is? Nothing, right? Well, Pastor, I just teach the kids once a month and try not to scream at anybody. Amen, I did it for 6 years, okay? I did the same thing. Right? But you know what? Teaching those little kids in that room is exactly as important in the sight of God as some guy preaching to millions in Africa. It's all the same puzzle, man. Can I get an amen? Trying to encourage y'all this morning. If I lose balance, the balance of my personal call and journey with the balance of my corporate call and journey, I'm going to get off track. Should have got one amen on that. It's good. God isn't developing you just for you. He's developing you for everyone else too. Is that right? He's making each one of us into useful, fruitful, healthy vessels for his glory for the benefit of everyone. Right? There's a scripture in Philippians. I'm going to really go preach on it in a few weeks in this series, but Paul says it like this in Philippians 2. He says, do nothing from selfishness man, stop right there, and we all need to run up and repent, right? I mean, if God showed up and just ripped our hearts open and exposed how selfish we can be, we'd all be like on our faces. We want to hide under something. Can I get amen? I'll tell you a quick story, man. I turned 40 last year. I'm almost 41. And my wife had organized a party here at the church with a whole bunch of my friends or whatever. And I've really worked on not being selfish. I mean, I really worked hard at it. The Holy Spirit's been all over me for a long time. But what happened is, like, the week before my party was supposed to be, my wife and all the kids got sick. And my wife was like, well, I don't think we're going to be able to have this party because, you know, I'm sick and everything. And I looked at her and I said, well, how about we just have the party and you guys don't come? I literally, you ever say something, as soon as it comes out, you're like, what did you just say? You're talking to yourself, what did you just say? I was like, man, I'm going to get divorced, like, immediately on the spot. Dude, I said that, and I was like, I wanted to jump outside of myself, look at myself, and punch myself in the face. I was like, before she even facial expression anything, I was thinking to myself, what the blank is wrong with you, bro? Man, whoo. This is the pastor speaking. Buckle your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy flight. Man, I was so embarrassed. Like, how selfish. And then, I mean, she canceled the party. I get sick anyway, so I wouldn't be able to go to my own party. Praise God. But you know what, churches, I thought about it? Because I was really like, God, where did that come from? Anybody ever think that? Something comes out, even a thought in your head, right? Somebody, your kids say something, your spouse says something. Even if you've been grown enough where you keep your mouth shut, there's still stuff in your head. There's all this self-talk, and you're going, shut up, right? Just want to go, where did that come from? And God's like, it's been there the whole time. We're just working on it now. Praise God, right? But you know what I thought? I realized that. I said, God, what was that? You know what it was? I was like, well, geez, if it's my 40th birthday, people are going to give me stuff. That's really what it was. I'm being real honest, man. Some of you are going to be like, you shouldn't be the pastor anymore. You should sit down. I'm just being straight. I was like, man, people are going to buy me stuff because it's 40. That's a big one. You know, I made it. Right? I mean, serious, man. And I was like, Lord, forgive me. That is so evil. It's terrible. You're all laughing because you want to cry otherwise, man. Amen. Is it good, church? Go to Ephesians chapter 2 with me. We're going to do a little bit of teaching and some reading here. And we're going to really tear apart the end of Ephesians chapter 2, but I want to lay some groundwork here. So chapter 2 in Ephesians, that's go eat popcorn, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. It's the second one of those Ephesians. Say amen when you're there. Guys are there. We're going to start in verse 13. I would encourage you guys to read the whole chapter later or whatever, but verse 13, just want to give you some prelude to what we're going to really hammer on. But now, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So let me ask you guys real quick. Anybody, shout it out if you know. Paul's actually talking about a very specific group of people here. Does anybody know who it is? Gentiles, right? Not the Jews. We're going to see it and we keep reading. Very good. Whoever said that, you get a gold sticker after church. For he himself, Jesus, right, is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Listen to this. By abolishing in his flesh the enmity, everybody say enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. So what is the enmity, church? We're going to break it down here. What's the enmity? Paul just said it, plain as day. Is the law, right? That is the enmity. Jesus broke it down, right? He abolished it in his flesh so that in himself he might make the two, Jews and Gentiles, into what? Say it together with me. One new man. Amen, right? So just a little side note here. If you hear any teaching that says that if we get saved, we're supposed to become like Jews, or there's folks say that if you're that Jews got to become Gentiles, both of those are wrong. Paul says it right here. As Christians, we're not supposed to become Jews. They're not supposed to become Gentiles. There's one new man that God is making in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. All right, man, come on. There's some weird teaching out there today that we gotta go back and live like the Jews, man. That is wrong. Can I get amen? He's going to make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross. By it having put to death the enmity. Look at what he says, church. By the cross he put to death the enmity. What is the enmity? The law. How do you read this and get anything else out of that other than what I just taught? Can I get amen? Let me just side note. Paul says in another book, he says, look, the law is good if it's used lawfully or used properly, right? Paul's not saying that we should just ignore the righteous standards of the law. He's saying that the law is no longer the access point to God. That's what the Jews have. They try to come to God through the law. Is that right? And the Bible clearly tells us that no man will be justified by the works of the law. Right? This is what Paul's really saying. He's not saying that I can murder folks now because Jesus took care of the law. He's not saying I can sleep with folks that I'm not married to because Jesus did away with the law. Is that right? He's dealing with that we now have access to God through the Holy Spirit, through a new covenant. Amen. You good? He came and preached, verse 17, to peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. Amen. So far away is Gentiles. Those who are near are Jews, right? For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Here we get to our teaching for today. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. How many households, church? Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, notice what Paul leaves out right there. Doesn't say the law. Isn't that interesting? So the apostles are Peter, Paul, Mark, Luke, John, James, right? These guys that wrote the New Testament. Those are the apostles that he's talking about. And the prophet, he doesn't say anything about the law. The prophets. Amen. When Samuel comes in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, when all these prophets start coming and start prophesying about the one to come, we read it out of Ezekiel today. The hope for the dry bones is the Holy Spirit. Right? Isn't that interesting? The foundation that we're built on is the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, how many buildings? One, being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Now, before I go on at all, church, we got to look at this last phrase. I'm messing my notes all up, but look, we've got to understand something. God is looking for some place on earth to dwell. Well, Pastor, I thought God is omnipresent, right? Present everywhere. He is, church, okay? Their darkness is light to God, right? David talks about, behold, if I grow wings and fly to the sun, God's with me. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you're with me, right? There's no place I can go that God is technically not. But what God is talking about here is a place that he can rest. Do you ever think about that? Like God, almighty, right? He needs nothing. He's perfect, completely complete. The Bible, there's several places. We're going to look at an Old Testament passage at the end of this sermon here that God says, I'm looking for some place to rest, right? One of the reasons that there are so many beautiful cathedrals over in Europe and some in America, whatever, because they're building these things for God, right, in a sense. But the problem with the church is that God clearly tells us in the New Testament that I no longer dwell in buildings built with the hands of man. Right? So, you know, like all this stuff we have up here, like God doesn't look at this and say, man, that's exactly the color carpet I was looking for, man. I love it. It's perfect. Right? He's not like, oh, man, that guitar, that's my favorite kind. I love the tone. It's got such good balance. He's praise God. Right? God's not like, yeah, man, QSC speakers. I love those kind. They sound so crisp and clean. Right? Hey, look at that's a nice color on the back of that cross. Praise God. I love it. Right? God is not interested in the physical things that we do. It doesn't mean that they're wrong. It just means we need to make sure our priorities are straight. Is that right? Right? Do we need to honor what we call the house of God, right? This is the house of God. We gather here. Do we need to respect it? And you know, pick up papers on the floor and whatever, right? Keep it clean. Amen, for sure. Okay, because it's a way that we demonstrate to God that we respect him. Is that good? So, but God says that he does not look, there's not a building on the planet right now that God looks down and just looks at the physical structure and goes, yep, I'm going to dwell there. Doesn't exist. Okay, so people have come to our church, and we've had contractors come here during the week, y'all, and walk in and go, there's something different here. But it's not because the building. God doesn't look at the building and go, I love that building. The reason they feel something different is the presence of God is because of what goes on in the building. Is that right? Because we pray here, because we are learning, everybody say learning, because we're learning to love each other the way Jesus does, because we strive to walk humbly with God, because we worship the best we can, as pure as we can, right? We're not here to entertain you. I said last week, people say, well, I don't really like worship today. Francis Chan said, well, good, because we weren't worshiping you. I love that. I should say that every week to myself too. Praise gosh. Look in the mirror. We're not worshiping you, buddy. Right? Amen. I just read a whole article on worship. A friend of mine sent me. And he says it's a fascinating article, but it was talking about like this modern worship trend that's been going on for like, we're pushing 40 years now in this modern worship trend. And this guy wrote this article basically saying, you know what it's produced in a lot of ways? He said there's good things going on in it, but it's produced in a lot of ways people saying that worship is about me receiving something. I didn't feel anything today. I didn't cry today. I didn't. Well, you know what? You're not supposed to. It's not about you. Worship is acclaiming glory to God. And if he chooses to bless us with his presence and we cry, then amen. I love it. Right? I hate worship services where I'm like, well, that one was dead. You know, like just pull the plug, bro. Let's turn it off and start over, right? Come on, church. I mean, it's awesome, but worship is not about you. It's about God. I don't come here thinking, okay, Lord, if you make me feel good, I'll sing a little louder. He says, how about you sing a little louder and see what happens? Amen. It's pretty good. All bonus. Verses 19 through 22 are really what we're going to dig into, but again, I want to back up, review just quickly, guys. What we got to see here, which I never really noticed this before until I was studying this again this week, Paul tells us clearly here that the law is what separated Jews and Gentiles, right? Right? That's what he says. He took down this dividing wall between the two. But what the Holy Spirit said to me was this, that we're still leaning back on the law, and the law not only divides us between men and God, because we know that. We all know that, right? Raise your hand and say, I know that, right? Paul, the Bible crystal clear tells us, if you want to live by the law, good luck. You're not going to make it, right? But what happens is when we look at the law ourselves and we try to adhere to the requirements of the law in our own flesh, we're going to fail. But what happens when I start doing that, it's a tricky thing, it's a subtle thing. What happens is I start, not only am I failing, but I look at this lady and I start thinking, well, I think she's not holding up to the law either. So it becomes a divisive thing. It's not only keeping me really from the graces of God, but it causes me to judge my brothers and sisters. right? Because again, I started this from my talking about, if you find anyone who's fallen into any trespass, you should judge them and kick them out of the church. No, but that's what we do. You should restore that one who's fallen in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, you know what? That could be me. And someday maybe it will be. Because you know what the Bible says? We think this is all money. With the same measure you give, it'll be given back to you. So you know what? If you give out judgment and you give out, well, you should have made a better decision, make a better decision next time. Now, that doesn't mean we don't need to say that, church. But you know what? We need to say that maybe after we reach down and pick them up. Can I get amen on that, right? If your kids fall off their bike because they're doing something stupid and you're a halfway decent parent, you don't sit on the porch, you know, with your legs crossed on your rocking chair with your Kool-Aid or whatever you're drinking and say, I told you not to do that, Junior. No, you're going to go up and pick Junior up and clean his knees up and say, come on, buddy. Can I get amen, church? Is it good? Look, we've got to understand the Holy Spirit, man. If we're really walking in the Holy Spirit, we will fulfill the law without even trying. That's not the point, man. You know what? The law doesn't tell me that I got to love anybody. I got to love God and love my neighbor. But you understand what I'm saying? There's nothing in the law that tells me how to do it. When we get into the Holy Spirit and grace, now read Paul's writings, read Peter's writings, read Jesus. A new commandment I give you, love your neighbor as I have loved you. How did Jesus love me? On a cross. On a cross. Man, we don't love folks like that. We're gonna. Can I get amen? Yeah. It's good. Everybody okay? If you're not, too bad. I love you anyway. What Paul is laying out here is that Jesus came, satisfied the requirements of the law on our behalf, released upon Jew and Gentile alike a new man. In verse 15, this is thus establishing peace. Jews don't have to become Gentiles. I know I already said this, but it's important. Gentiles don't have to become Jews. The invitation from the Lord is to step into something new. Everybody say new. This concept of newness is another prevalent theme in the Old Testament, man, right? Don't be conformed to the world. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. Have a new mind, right? You don't put new wine into old wineskins, but a new wineskin, so that both the wine and the skin are preserved, right? It's new. There's this new thing that God's doing. And the Holy Spirit said to me, son, the problem in the church is we've got a bunch of old folks trying to do new things. We look at these commands, but we're still living in who we were. We're still living in being angry. We're still living in being bitter. We're still like, well, so-and-so didn't say hi to me last Sunday, so now I'm offended and I'm not cranky. But God says, look it, I'm trying to give you a new operating system, man. Like we're running on old DOS Windows or something. And he says, I'm trying to upgrade you to Mac, bro. All right, I'm trying to give you a totally new way to think, a totally new way to express your emotions, a totally new way to live. So every time that something happens to me and I act like I used to act, I'm stepping back into my old man. And you know what my old man produces? Death and destruction. Every time, church. Every time, man. Every time that we step back and handle things the way we think we should, you're going to kill somebody. It's either you or them. Is that good? And I'm going to build this really into next Sunday here. I've got some really good teaching coming. Look, so Paul's giving a corporate address here to the church. Can I get amen? Not a personal one. So a little preview of next week. We love the scripture that, you know, don't you know that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? In Corinthians. But several years back, the Lord said to me, you know, how we teach that in church is like this, man. You're a temple, 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 you're a temple. Okay, and that's true, but it's not the whole truth, right? Paul, when Paul says, don't you know that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit? Yes, you have the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. And so do you, and so do you. Okay, but Paul's also talking to the church. Don't you know that you are not 65 temples? He says you're one temple. One, right? So going back to my Lego analogy, man, you're not the whole piece of pie, all right? You're not a little Lego motorcycle by yourself. You're a piece of the Lego motorcycle. Amen. And you know what? The teaching is crystal clear in the Bible that if I got to fit where I'm supposed to fit, I got to do what I'm supposed to do. If we do that, the body builds itself. That's what Paul says. Amen. That's good. Almost done. So it's a corporate address, right? In the Old Testament, Moses was instructed to build a tabernacle for God, right? Amen. Somebody, y'all falling asleep on me? Moses was instructed to build a tabernacle for God, right? Go read that story. It's painstaking in detail. David was instructed to build a temple, which Solomon built, again, with painstaking detail and instruction. God said, this is how long the building should be. It should be this wide. It should be this high. He's told them what materials to use, what colors it should be, who can go where in the temple. There was different sections of the temple. Certain people can go in this room. Certain people can go in this room. Only the high priest could go all the way in here. He can only do it once a year. All these instructions, right? But somehow we come to the New Testament, and because God doesn't tell us to build the physical temple, we're just like, I'm going to do whatever I want. Who cares? I'll come and go, show up when I feel like showing up, do whatever I want to do, give whatever I want to give. Doesn't matter. But if God is telling us, look what Paul says, in whom you also are being built together, right? He doesn't say you are building yourselves together. He says there's a master builder. You ever seen the Lego movie? There's a master builder, man. Right? The master builders take a bunch of pieces that don't look like they fit together and make something cool. That was not in my notes. I should write that down because that's pretty good. Right? He's going to take all these pieces that you're like, there's no way that's going to make something. And he says, oh yeah, watch, I'll make something out of it. Is that right, church? God is the one he's saying, I'm trying to build a temple. And I've got to allow the Spirit of God to shape me into the piece of the temple that he wants me to be, not the one I want to be. I told some folks the other day, y'all have been here long enough, when Pastor Al came and told me that I was supposed to take the church over, I was like, you got the wrong guy, bro. I was leading worship. I was like, I'm good, man. Praise God. I got a regular job. It's good. I don't need to worry about folks getting mad every week. It's good. Amen. I was like, no, I don't want this job. And this Lord said, it took a couple of years. The man prayed about it, and the Lord finally spoke. He says, yep, that's what you're supposed to do. I was like, oh, man. Yikes. Help me, Jesus. But then when I got in at church, it was like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. Amen. Come on, I'm telling you, there's things that God's going to push you at. You're going to be like, no way, I can't do that. Just follow him, man. Get in it. See what he's going to do. Is that good? So wrapping up real quick here. Want to look at just a couple phrases in the Greek. Again, if you're visiting with us, I love looking into the original language here. So in verse 22, again, I just read it. He says, in whom you also are being built together, right? Meaning somebody is building you, that master builder, that God, the Holy Spirit, is trying to build something with us, right? So the phrase in the Greek here, that are being built together, those four words is one word in the Greek language, and this is what it means. It literally means this, to put a house together. Amen? I've never built a house, but like I said, I've built Legos and models and different things, amen? And there are all these thousands of pieces. Man, just I've done a little bit of work on my cars before, man. You take your cars, there's all these, just all these pieces, springs, little stuff. You ever take some part, put it back together, and then there's like an extra screw, and you're like, uh-oh. I wonder if that's important. You know? You're like, yeah, that holds the wheels on. It's important, you know, or whatever. Can I get amen, right? But this is exactly the picture we're supposed to see. Like, there's all these little pieces that God's saying, man, I'm working this thing out. Right? And So the second phrase is dwelling. The word is dwelling, right? We're being built together into a dwelling. The Greek word here literally means sanctuary. The dictionary, sanctuary, means this: a sacred or holy place. See, we say sanctuary in America, we're like, yeah, that's where we stand together and sing songs. That's where I sit and listen to somebody yell at me for an hour every week. Right? But God's picture of a sanctuary is a sacred and holy place. So again, it's not the physical building, it's us. When we gather, God says, I'm trying to build you together into a sacred and holy place. Holy, if you don't know what that word means, it just means different. When you say God is holy, it means he's different than everything else that is. It's not weird. You can be holy and still be cool. Yeah? Look at me. I'm a perfect example of that. Some of you are like, man, this guy is a piece of work. A dwelling of God in the Spirit. Let me throw one little side note in here. I'm really almost done, but I got to tell you, I thought of this story this morning, and it's a really funny one, even funnier than my, I don't know, it's on par with the birthday one, okay? So when Missy and I were dating, and I'm going to make a point out of this, all right? So Missy and I were dating. we were going to this little Pentecostal church in Torrington, and we met in this little building, right? So anyway, I was late to church. Yeah, I was late. And I drove, my car at the time was a 1983 Chrysler New Yorker. Anybody know what those look like? Those old 80s cars, like the 70s and 80s cars that had the bumpers that hooked around. They like stuck out the back and like hooked around, right? So I'm pulling into this parking spot. I'm not even looking at my father-in-law because I know he knows where I'm going with this one. And I pull into this parking spot like I was going this way by his car. And I went like one of these and pulled in. And as I'm pulling out, I hear this weird like popping sound. I was like, huh. I was like 19 or something. I don't know how old I was, but driving this huge boat. So I get out and I'm walking over to the church and the bumper of his car is on the ground. And I'm like, well, I'm late for church, so can't fix it now. So I go up to what happened. I pulled in. There was not a mark on the paint. I pulled in just perfect. My bumper just hooked that clip and just poop, popped the thing right off. It's on the ground, and I'm like, man. So we go up, and we're having worship, and I'm thinking, man, how am I going to get out of this one, you know? So the pastor's sermon that day was about reconciling with your brother if they've offended you. Oh, I was like, man, if I had any doubt that God was real, it's gone now. Praise God. So the pastor, church, listen to this. He gives this invitation. We get real quiet, and he's all somber, and he's like, so right now, I want you, if there's anything in your heart against your brother, I want you to get up and go to your brother right now and privately reconcile. Just be honest with him. So I'm like, man, this is perfect. So I get up. And I'm walking down the aisle at my father-in-law, and he looks up at me, and he realizes I'm coming at him, and I already know what he's thinking. What did you do to my daughter? So I lean down, and real quiet, I was like, so I kind of ripped the bumper off your car this morning. Sorry. And I know he was like, oh, so it's not my daughter? Okay, I'm not going to kill you now. Praise God. He made me pay for it, though. I mean, I don't know. But it's a funny story, church. But you know what I was thinking about? That Lord, I know the Lord popped it in my heart this morning because you know what happens? You know what messes up this thing that God's trying to build? Is animosity in our hearts towards one another. That's the only thing that can mess it up. Right? It's competition. It's envy. It's, how dare you do that to me? How dare you talk to me like that? How dare you? Dude. And you know what? The devil has a field day with that stuff. Can I get, just raise our hands. How many of you ever had a bad thought about somebody else in church? If you're not raising your hand, come up to the altar because we're going to lay hands on you And you, right? Somebody said something weird, and you're like, what's wrong with them? Right? But look at this is what God's getting at, man. He says, look, you are members one of another. Amen. Isaiah 66, we're done right here. Let's stand up. Isaiah 66, I told you we're going to read an Old Testament passage here, just a short one. And I'm going to share one quick thought. We're done in like a minute. Isaiah 66, this is the last chapter in Isaiah. Amen. It says this, thus says the Lord, listen to what he says. Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? What's God saying? I don't care what you build. It doesn't impress me. Where is a place, but look at this question, that I may rest? Whoa. For my hand made all these things, thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But, everybody say but, to this one I will look. I don't think this is a singular one, church. I think he's talking to this one, like this is, right? Like it's not just a singular you, it's a plural you, amen? He says, I'll look to this one, till I will look to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. You know what that means? It means to take God's word seriously. If God says, I want you to do this, then we best be doing it. Amen? Not our effort, but just saying, Lord, help me. Be honest. Build some relationship with brothers and sisters and say, man, look, I'm struggling with this. I need some help, man. Can you pray with me? Can you stand with me? Right? There's that relationship. There's that dwelling that God says, yes, I like that. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. Thank you, Lord, for just an awesome time of worship. But, Lord, I know it's going to be more awesome. We're just asking you, God, just keep coming in, Lord. Like in Isaiah, when it says that the glory of the Lord came in and the train of his robe filled the temple. I heard one preacher say that sometimes the Lord comes in and then he keeps coming in. Lord, we just want more of your presence, God. Not so we can feel goosebumps and cry, but so that we'll change. We want to change, Lord. We want to be responsive to this temple that you are building. That's what Paul says. You are building it, Lord. You're building it. Help us to just say, Lord, make me, shape me, and mold me however you want to do it, Lord. I don't care where I am. David says, I'll be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Just let me be there. Father, forgive us for fighting you when you're trying to make us into, you're trying to rub, sand some of the rough edges off. We say, Lord, no, you can't do that. You can't touch that part. Lord, forgive us for that arrogance, God. And I say that we submit today, Lord. I'm raising my hand, Father. Make me how you want me to be, Lord. Help us to stop being afraid of what people think about it. Help us stop being afraid of what we might have to lose or give up. Because, God, if we surrender to you, if we really surrender, the reward is so much more valuable than whatever I lost. So, Lord, we love you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. Let's bless the Lord. And awesome, awesome.